Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in Him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this show is for the 24th of January, 2000. And 18. So we're in the book of Jasher. Now Jasher is not someone's name. It is Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. And that's what Yasher means. It doesn't have a J in it. That's a recent addition in English. It is Yashar. So that corrects that. It has been an exciting read so far. There's 91 chapters, and we're on chapter 32. So we're going to be in this book for a while. I'm sitting here drinking hot coffee. Oh yes, and. We'll get into this right now. We had a session where Esau's coming after Yaakov after they've left Laban, and they were warned, and He's getting ready to meet Esau. So this is chapter 32 of Jasher, verse 1. And at that time, Jacob sent messengers to his brother Esau toward the land of Seir, and he spoke to him words of supplication. And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall you say to my lord, to Esau, Thus saith thy servant Jacob, Let not my lord imagine that my father's blessing with which he did bless me has proved beneficial to me. For I have been these 20 years with Laban, and he deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, as it has all been already told unto my lord. And I served him in his house very laboriously, and Yah afterward saw my affliction, my labor, and the work of my hands, and he caused me to find grace and favor in his sight. Verse 5. And I afterward, through Yah's great mercy and kindness, acquired oxen and asses and cattle, and men servants and maid servants. Verse 6. And now I am coming to my land and my home, to my father and mother, who are in the land of Canaan. And I have sent to let my lord know all this in order to find favor in the sight of my lord. In other words, he's sort of sucking up to the guy. So that he may not imagine that I have obtained wealth, or that the blessing with which my father blessed me has benefited me. And you can reference Genesis 32, verses 4 and 5 on that. Verse 7. And those messengers went to Esau and found him on the borders of the land of Edom, going toward Jacob, and 400 men of the children of Seir, the Horite, were standing with drawn swords. Verse 8. And the messengers of Jacob told Esau all the words that Jacob had spoken to them concerning Esau. Okay, let me pause for a second. I got to clear my chest a little bit. Ah, yeah, it's early in the morning and I have a frog. Verse 9, And Esau answered them with pride and contempt, and said unto them, Surely I have heard, and truly it has been told unto me, what Jacob has done to Laban, who exalted him in his house, and gave him his daughters for wives, and he begot sons and daughters, and abundantly increased in wealth and riches in Laban's house through his means. Verse 10, And when he saw that his wealth was abundant and his riches great, he fled with all belonging to him from Laban's house. And he led Laban's daughters away from the face of their father as captives taken by the sword, without telling him of it. Verse 11, And not only to Laban has Jacob done this, but also unto me has he done so, and has twice supplanted me, and shall I be silent? Verse 12, Now I have this day come with my camps to meet him, and I will do unto him according to the desire of my heart. That's pretty threatening. Verse 13. And the messengers returned and came to Jacob and said unto him, We came to your brother, to Esau, and we told him all your words, and thus as he answered us, and behold, he comes to meet you with 400 men. Verse 14. Now then, know and see what you shall do, and pray before Yah to deliver you from him. Verse 15. And when he heard the words of his brother, which he had spoken to the messengers of Jacob, Jacob was greatly afraid, and he was distressed. Verse 16. And Jacob prayed to Yahweh his God, and he said, O Yah! Elohe of my fathers, that's God of my fathers, Abraham and Yitzchak, you did say unto me when I went away from my father's house, saying, verse 17, I am Yahweh, Elohe of thy father, Abraham, and the Elohe of Yitzchak, Unto you do I give this land and thy seed after thee. And I will make your seed as the stars of the sky, and you shall spread forth to the four sides of the sky, and in you and in thy seed shall all the families of the land be blessed. Let's stop right here. Seed is seed line, okay? Your seed line. And it's not the families of the earth, it's the families of the land. And he's talking about the Israelite families of the land. And by extension, if people are not the enemies of Israel, they will be blessed also by the presence of Israel. Because when we're left to our own devices and our own families, everybody around us prospers, not just Israel, okay? Verse 18, continuing on. And you did establish your words, and did give unto me riches and children and cattle, as the utmost wishes of my hearts did you give unto your servant. You did give unto me all that I asked from you. I lack nothing. Verse 19. And you did afterward say unto me, Return to your parents and to your birthplace, and I will still do well with you. Verse 20. And now that I have come, and you did deliver me from Laban, I shall fall in the hands of Esau, who will slay me, the mothers of my children. Verse 21. Now therefore, O Yahweh, deliver me, I pray you, also from the hands of my brother Esau, for I am greatly afraid of him. Verse 22. And if there is no righteousness in me, do it for the sake of Abraham and my father Yitzchak. Verse 23. For I know that through the kindness and mercy have I acquired this wealth. Now therefore I beseech thee to deliver me this day with thy kindness and to answer me. Verse 24. And Jacob ceased praying to Yahweh, and he divided the people that were with him with the flocks and cattle into two camps. And he gave the half to the care of Damasek, the son of Eliezer, Abraham's servant, for a camp with his children. And the other half he gave to the care of his brother, Elianus, the son of Eliezer, to be for a camp with his children. Verse 25. And he commanded them, saying, this is verse 25, keep yourselves at a distance with your camps, and do not come too near each other. And if Esau come to one camp and slay it, the other camp at a distance from it will escape him. Verse 26. And Jacob tarried there that night. And during the whole night he gave his servants instructions concerning the forces and his children. Verse 27. And Yahweh heard the prayer of Jacob on that day. And Yahweh then delivered Jacob from the hands of his brother Esau. Now, here's the action that Yahweh is taking, and it's going to be pretty startling. How he does it. Verse 28. Now they have the word angels here, and that's a church term. It's messengers, okay? Verse 28. And Yahweh sent three messengers of the messengers of heaven, or the sky. And they went before Esau and came to him. And these messengers appeared under Esau and his people as 2,000 men riding upon horses. Furnished with all sorts of war instruments, and they appeared in the sight of Esau and all his men to be divided into four camps with four chiefs to them. And one camp went on, and they found Esau coming with 400 men toward his brother Jacob. That's verse 30. And this camp ran toward Esau and his people and terrified them. And Esau fell off the horse in alarm, and all his men separated from him in that place, for they were greatly afraid. I guess so. Verse 31, and the whole of the camp shouted after them when they fled from Esau, and all the warlike men answered, saying, verse 32, let me get a drink of coffee first. That throat gets a little dry. Verse 32, surely we are the servants of Jacob, the servant of Elohim. And who can stand against us? Oh, boy. You can imagine, you know, these are divine beings with drawn swords and weapons of war. They just scared the heck out of these guys. And Esau said unto them, oh, then, my lord and brother Jacob is your lord, whom I have not seen for these 20 years, and now that I have this day come to see him, do you treat me in this manner? Okay, and the messengers answered him, saying, "As Yahweh lives, were not Yaakov of whom you speak your brother, we had not left one remaining from you and your people. But on account of Yaakov, we will do nothing to them." Let me clear my morning frog here a second. There we go. Verse 34. "And this camp passed from Esau and his men, and it went away. And Esau and his men had gone from them about a league, when the second camp came toward him with all sorts of weapons. And they also did unto Esau and his men as the first camp had done to them." Verse 35. "And when they had left to go on, behold, the third camp came toward him, and they were terrified. And Esau fell off the horse, and the whole camp cried out and said, 'Surely we are the servants of Yaakov, the servant of Elohim, and who can stand against us?'" Just like that other camp did, and they were scaring the heck out of Esau and his guys. Oh, I love this. This is priceless. Verse 36. "And Esau again answered them, saying, 'Oh, then, Yaakov, my lord and your lord, is my brother, and for 20 years I have not seen his countenance. And hearing this day that he was coming, I went this day to meet him, and do you treat me in this manner?'" He's whining and crying. "Oh, no, I'm just going to go see my brother." Oh, I love it. And you wonder why I'm so joyous about this. That this is just one. You just don't get this in the King James. They have taken so much stuff out and tampered so much, and this book fills in a lot of gaps. Now it leaves some stuff out that's in your regular Bible, but it's not meant to be a direct quotation. It's a filler. Follows the timeline and the passages, but it fills in so much more information. That's why it's so important to have these books and to read them. And you can read along in Genesis, and this will fill in a lot of the gaps that's missing in your King James or whatever version that you're using. Verse 37, "And they answered him and said, 'As Yahweh lives, were not Yaakov your brother, as you did say, we had not left a remnant from thee and thy men, but on account of Yaakov, of whom you speak, being your brother, we will not meddle with you or your men.'" Verse 38, "And the third camp also passed from them, and he still continued his road with his men toward Yaakov. When the fourth camp came toward him, and they also did unto him and his men as the others had done." Verse 39. Now there's a star on that. They didn't do any actual harm or injury to them. They just caused great alarm and confusion and scared the daylights out of his men. Verse 39. And when Esau beheld the evil, and that's what I'm talking about, this threatening, which the four messengers had done to him and to his men, he became greatly afraid of his brother Jacob, and he went to meet him in peace. He got rid of his warlike attitude. Now listen to this. Remember, this is Esau Edom. He's not a good man. Okay? Verse 40. And Esau concealed his hatred against Jacob because he was afraid of his life on account of his brother Jacob, and because he imagined that the four camps that he had lighted upon were Jacob's servants. In other words, Yahweh gave him a comeuppance with these messengers, because he was going to go and kill Jacob. That was his intention. Well, his descendants today want to kill Jacob Israel. Real Israel. These are the Edomites. Same methodology then, same methodology today. They have not changed. Verse 41. And Jacob tarried that night with his servants, in their camps. And he resolved with his servants to give unto Esau a present from all that he had with him and from all his property. And Jacob rose up in the morning, he and his men, and they chose from amongst the cattle, that's livestock, okay, a present for Esau. Because he used to call sheep and goats small cattle, and then regular bovine cattle, large cattle. Okay. Verse 42. And this is the amount of the present which Jacob chose from his flock to give unto his brother Esau. And he selected 240 head from the flocks, and he selected from the camels and asses 30 each, and of the herds he chose 50 kine, K-I-N-E, that's actual cattle. Okay. And he put them all in 10 droves, and he placed each sort by itself. And he delivered them into the hands of 10 of his servants, each drove by himself. Verse 44, and he commanded them and said unto them, keep yourself at a distance from each other, and put a space between the droves. And when Esau and those who are with him shall meet you and ask you, saying, whose are you, and where do you go, and to whom belongs all this before you? You shall say unto them, we are the servants of Jacob, and we come to meet Esau, in peace. And behold, Jacob comes behind us. And that which is before us is a present sent from Jacob to his brother Esau. Verse 46. And if they shall say unto you, why does he delay behind you from coming to meet his brother and to see his face? Then you shall say unto them, surely he comes joyfully behind us to meet his brother, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes to him, and after this I will see his face. Peradventure, that means perhaps, he will accept of me. Okay. Verse 47. So the whole present passed on in the hands of his servants and went before him on that day, and he lodged that night with his camps by the border of the brook Yabbok. And he rose up in the midst of the night, and he took his wives and his maidservants and all belonging to him, and he that night passed them over the ford Yabbok. In other words, the shallow spot where you could cross. Verse 48, and you can reference Genesis 38, verse 22 here. And when he passed all belonging to him over the brook, Jacob was left by himself. And a man met him. Now, this was not a man. And he wrestled with him that night until the breaking of the day. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint through wrestling with him. Verse 49, and at the break of day, the man left Jacob there, and he blessed him and went away. And Jacob passed the brook at the break of day, and he halted upon his thigh. That means he was limping because his hip joint was out of place. Okay, that's what this language means, and it's old language, so I wanted to explain that. Verse 50, and the sun rose upon him when he had passed the brook, and he came up to the place of his cattle and children. There we go. Verse 51. And they went on till midday, and while they were going, the present was passing on before them. That's all these animals. Verse 52. And you can reference Genesis chapter 33, verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and look, and behold, Esau was at a distance, coming along with many men, 400, And Yaakov was greatly afraid of his brother, because his brother was vicious, okay? That's just, you know, he's the Edomite. His children were Edomites, rather. And they took after Esau, who was an evil Hebrew. Verse 53. And Yaakov hastened and divided his children unto his wives and his handmaids, and his daughter Dinah he put in a chest and delivered her into the hands of his servants. He hid his daughter in a chest. Verse 54. And he passed before his children and wives to meet his brother, and he bowed down to the ground. Yea, he bowed down 7 times until he approached his brother. And Yah caused Yaakov to find grace and favor in the sight of Esau and his men, for Yah had heard the prayer of Yaakov. Verse 55. And the fear of Yaakov and his terror fell upon his brother Esau. For Esau was greatly afraid of Yaakov for what the messengers of Yah had done to Esau. Now, pay attention to this. And Esau's anger against Yaakov was turned into kindness. Not out of any goodness of Esau. Okay? But at the hand of Yahweh. Yahweh turned his anger aside. Because he did not have good intentions toward Yaakov. But now he was scared. And that's all they respect today is force. Because they would cheerfully kill all of us. Unless they are made to be afraid. Because they're coward. If they meet an equal force, nah. Verse 56. And when Esau saw Yaakov running toward him, he also ran toward him, and he embraced him, and he fell upon his neck, and they kissed and they wept. Now here's verse 57. And Yah put fear and kindness toward Yaakov in the hearts of the men that came with Esau, and they also kissed Yaakov and embraced him. Verse 58. And also Eliphaz, the son of Esau, with his 4 brothers, sons of Esau, wept with Yaakov, and they kissed him and embraced him. For the fear of Yaakov had fallen upon them all. Remember, Eliphaz robbed Yaakov before. Took everything he had on the orders of Esau, his father. So, there was a little turn in fortune here. Verse 59. And Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women with their offspring, the children of Yaakov, walking behind Yaakov and bowing along the road to Esau. Verse 60. And Esau said unto Jacob, Who are these with you, my brother? Are they the children of your servants? Are they thy children, pardon me, or your servants? And Jacob answered Esau and said, They're my children, which Yah has graciously given to your servant. And while Jacob was speaking to Esau and his men, Esau beheld the whole camp, and he said unto Jacob, When did you get the whole of the camp that I met yesternight? And Jacob said, To find favor in the sight of my Lord, it is that which Yah graciously gave to your servant. In other words, Yahweh gave them to me. They were from Yahweh. Oh, boy. That didn't help matters. That made him even more afraid. Oh, those were perhaps not men, but divine beings that could just squash me like a bug. Verse 62, And the present came before Esau, and Jacob pressed Esau, saying, Take, I pray you, the present that I have brought to my Lord. And Esau said, What is this my purpose? Keep that which you have unto yourself. Verse 63. And Jacob said, It is incumbent upon me to give all this, since I have seen your face, and that you still live in peace. Because he knew that this was going to sort of buy off Esau, make him a little bit happier about the situation. If he had all this stuff, okay, the greed factor comes in. Verse 64, And Esau refused to take the present, and Jacob said unto him, I beseech you, my lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, then receive my present at my hand, for I have therefore seen your face as though I had seen a godlike face. Oh, suck up. Oh, man. Because you were pleased with me. And you can reference Genesis 33, verse 10. He finally wheedled him into taking it. Verse 65. And Esau took the present, and Jacob also gave unto Esau silver and gold and bdellium, for he pressed him so much that he took them. Verse 66. And Esau divided the cattle that were in the camp, and he gave the half to the men who had come with him, for they had come on hire. They were hired thugs. And he delivered under the hands of his children. In other words, the other half he gave them. Verse 67. And the silver and gold and bdellium he gave in the hands of Eliphaz, his eldest son. And Esau said unto Jacob, Let us remain with you, and we will go slowly along with you until you come to my place with me, that we may dwell there together. Uh-huh. Oh, you're going to come live with me now? No. Okay. He's not going to go for that. Verse 68, and Jacob answered his brother and said, I would do as my Lord speaks unto me, but my Lord knows that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with their young who are with me go but slowly. For if they went swiftly, they would all die. For you know their burdens and their fatigue. Verse 69. Therefore, let my Lord pass on before his servant, and I will go on slowly for the sake of the children and the flock until I come to my Lord's place, to Seir. Verse 70. And Esau said unto Jacob, I will place with you some of the people that are with me to take care of you in the road and to bear your fatigue and burden. And he said, what needs it, my Lord? I may find grace in your sight. Behold, I will come to you to Seir to dwell there together as you have spoken. Go you with your people, for I will follow you. Right. Verse 72. And Jacob said this to Esau in order to remove Esau and his men from him. In other words, basically get all these thugs just in case Esau changed his mind, which he was wont to do, so that Jacob might afterward go to his father's house to the land of Canaan. Now that's what Yahweh had commanded him, not to go to Seir and live in Seir. Verse 73, and Esau hearkened to the voice of Jacob, and Esau returned with the 400 men that were with him on their road to Seir, and Jacob and all belonging to him went that day as far as the extremity of the land of Canaan in its borders, and he remained there some time. In other words, they made camp and rested. Okay, that ends chapter 32. Now, chapter 33 is a long chapter. I'm looking here, and I can't get to it today. I'm just not gonna. Oh yeah, that's a big long. But the chapter 33 is going to be all about the city of Shechem. And there's a lot of stuff going to go on there that is going to shape things for the future of Israel. I'm not going to get into it right now because that would spoil the next show. But it's going to be an exciting show because of all the stuff that's going to go on. In this chapter 32, we have seen the duplicity and the evilness of Esau, Edom. He was just a bad character all the way around. He was just not good. And his children were even worse. That Eliphaz in the bunch, he was going to rob and kill Jacob, but Yahweh prevented him from killing him. He just robbed him. And then he didn't have a thing to say about it. He met him later and didn't say anything. He just, yeah, I robbed you. That whole clan was bad seed then, and they're bad seed now. What's left of Edom? Has that satanic seed line in with them. They married among the cursed seed. That's what Esau did. He didn't marry Israelite women. He married among the cursed ones, and his seed line is cursed. In the book of Obadiah, if you read the book of Obadiah, it tells how much Yahweh hates Esau. Didn't want him to get the birthright. There was something wrong with Esau from the very beginning. I mean, he just had a wrongness about him. Yahweh knew this. Yahweh knew it full well. And he just... not good. So we're going to see what some more of these Canaanites are going to do. With Dinah in the next chapter, 33, the daughter of Yaakov. It's going to be centered around what the son of Shechem does. We'll get into that. There's going to be a lot of killing, a lot of revenge taking. It's going to lead to the losing of the birthright of Reuben. I don't know how to describe it, really. It is the basis for a lot of future actions. You got to have a foundation to build on. Well, this next chapter is a foundational chapter. It's going to determine future actions. It's going to have great impact. We are going to see the actions of the Canaanites. We're going to see the reactions of the Israelites in this chapter we just covered today, chapter 32, we saw the prevention of violence against Yaakov by Esau through Yahweh's hand. Yahweh stopped all the evil plans that Esau had, and his evil son, Eliphaz. I mean, the whole clan was bad. Esau hired a bunch of thugs. Well, aren't a lot of these people supposedly running around with authority today hired thugs? Uh, they were men for hire. Okay. They had come on hire, verse 66. Gave half to the men that had come with him, for they had come on hire. They weren't particularly loyal to Esau. They were paid off. They were paid thugs. And my question is right now, what's going to happen when the money runs out and they can't pay these thugs today? You think they're going to show up for work for free? If there's any kind of trouble going on, violence of any sort, you think they're going to show up?
Oh, I'm just going to go out and, I'm here to protect and serve.
No, they're not. They're there for the paycheck and for the retirement. And when the paycheck and the retirement stops, oh, everybody's afraid of them, and with good reason, because they're brutal. They beat, intimidate, rob, and kill our people. And a lot of these guys are white guys, and they're doing that to their own people. So what's going to be their fate in the end? What's going to happen? They're going to be numbered among the goats. And they're going to be cast out. If they have sold their soul for money, and they're running around enforcing illegal so-called laws and getting violent with people and shooting people and tasering people and beating people, that's going to carry a price tag with it. I hate to say it, but it is. But you can't tell them that. They are in power, and they think that they're going to get away with it. Yahweh has other plans. It gives them enough rope to hang themselves. That's all I can say. They're going to find a hard, hard lesson. But that's for another time. We will be getting into chapter 33 on Friday. And I will wish you peace and have a good week. And may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.